This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Big holiday weekend. I just realized we had Valentine's Day on Friday. And then you have President's Day today, All-Star Weekend, Four Nations Face-Off Weekend. Man, pretty darn big weekend. Alex Dono, Dan Day with you right now. 305-567-0560, the number to call or text in. 786 says, Florida Panthers have fighters. The Miami Dolphins got high-priced excuses.
Ooh. Oh, listen, I think he's right on both fronts. certainly with the Florida Panthers, because you remember, Dan, before you know, Bill Zito got to Florida, you know, they had a good collection of talent, but they were, you know, they were a little soft. It was kind of a finesse offensive team that could score a ton of goals, didn't have a lot of toughness. And then Zito he knew he needed to make a real playoff roster, because in the NFL, if you're going to get through that, the Stanley Cup playoffs is the biggest grind in sports. If you've ever been to a playoff game, and thankfully the Panthers have been in the playoffs so much lately and won a Stanley Cup, you know, we've had the opportunity, Dan, to go to so many different playoff games. Like, for as violent and as physical as a regular season NFL game is, you ramp it up so much in the playoffs, you're like, okay, we just won a game now, and we've got to do this 15 more times in order to win a champion. You've got to win 15 more of these. It is such a grind, and Zito knew they had to get tougher. It's why, you know, the trade that brought Matthew Tkachuk here was a little controversial at the time, a little risky, and it paid off tenfold. So many of the other moves he made was to get this team tougher. And on the flip side of that, the Miami Dolphins have players admitting, after, you know, some of these big losses and playoff losses in the past few years in cold weather, that we're soft. Like, we're not tough. Like, they admit that they are not tough enough. So 100%, the Dolphins have excuse makers. The Panthers have fighters.
Well, Vic Fangio, of course, defensive coordinator for the world champion, the Philadelphia Eagles, didn't so much say the team was soft, said they were just more worried about the extracurriculars in South Florida than actually getting down to business. And then he kind of sidestepped it. I know he was asked before the Super Bowl what happened in Miami, and he basically said everything was cool in Miami. The injuries got to me, but subconsciously he kind of made the mention that this team's focus isn't in the right place and they're a little soft. And he goes to Philadelphia with... he was, you know, vilified here in South Florida for being a little too hard-nosed and a little too old school. Yeah. He's, you know, glorified, obviously, after that Super Bowl for, you know, the way he's handled it over there. And he had the number one defense in the league. Of course, when you've got healthy guys and very, very talented high draft picks, it's easier to do that. But, yeah, people have said they've been kind of soft, and until they can change that narrative, and they always talk about, oh, we're going to change the narrative. Well, until you do it, it's going to remain a narrative, and that's just one of those things. But we're talking about how the Four Nations face-off has been fantastic and how the All-Star game for the NBA wasn't all that great. 954 texts in, if the NBA used the same format as, of course, the Four Nations face-off, the players would not play hard like NHL players did, because NBA players are all about that bag, getting my money. They don't have pride.
I mean, I guess he might. I mean, maybe he's right. And I don't even so much mean this as an insult to NBA players, because I think a lot of professional athletes are that way. I just think hockey players are different. I mean, Dan, you need to have a different sort of mentality to be, you know, colliding with people at 30 miles an hour on the ice and taking pucks to the face and throwing hands in the middle of a game and getting teeth knocked out. I mean, you grow up in that, because obviously anybody who's in the NHL has probably been playing hockey. Like, they've been skating before they could walk. Like, it's a different mentality. Like, yeah. Hockey players, they're wired differently than NBA players, soccer players. I mean, hell, even NFL players, because, you know, they had to stop playing a game at the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is no longer a football game because guys weren't taking it seriously anymore. But that will never happen in hockey. Hockey players are always wired differently. Like, you can get them maybe to turn it down a few notches when it comes to the intensity, but you could never make them turn it down the way NBA players do in the All-Star game, ever.
And with this Four Nations face-off, what it's looking like the NHL is trying to do is have a World Cup of hockey, which is basically just a more extended version of these Four Nations. I was talking with Doug Plagans, our play-by-play guy, right here on 560 WQAM, voice of the Florida Panthers on the radio. And I was like, is it going to be an every four-year thing? And what's going to happen with that? And he says, it's looking like they're trying to aim at every 2 years having one of these kind of World Cups of hockey. And if it's anything like this Four Nations face-off, I'm all for it. It's been great.
Yeah, it does feel like, you know, because hockey doesn't have that sort of, you know, high profile World Cup that soccer has, the biggest one. Mm-hmm. You know, basketball's got a pretty good World Cup as well. Like, hockey, if you can get that feel, or it's like having an extra Olympics kind of, because I do get into Olympic hockey as well. The rules are different, which is one of those things that kind of throws you off as an NHL fan. But yeah, this Four Nations thing, you kind of feel like you're getting like a bonus Olympic hockey or World Cup hockey, and I'm all for it.
But kudos to Bill Zito for what he did. I guess you say high risk, high reward. You're having a whole lot of fun. You got a lot of good stuff going. You win the President's Cup. You're the best team in the regular season, but you just can't get past the Lightning. You can't win a playoff series. You finally win a playoff series. He still blows it up. He still makes a controversial trade. He hires, at the time, a controversial coach. Let's be honest. The big thing on Paul Maurice is he hadn't won anything big, and he's one of the losingest coaches in NHL history. He's been run out of town in places, and at first it didn't seem right, and we get sold this bill of goods where, don't worry about the regular season, I'm building a playoff team. It's like, well, you got to get into the playoffs. You sneak into the playoffs, and then ever since then, it has been just fantastic. So Bill Zito, maybe the whole time he laid back, sat back and said, just watch this. Maybe there were some nights that he didn't sleep that well. I want to believe it's a little bit of both. But kudos, high risk, high reward, because what are you doing if you're just going to try to be good during the regular season but don't make any noise in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's completely different. Like, to be the best regular season team, I mean, there's a little luck that comes into that with being maybe healthy for more of those 82 games, but scoring a lot of goals. It's so much harder to score goals in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It just is, man. You have to be able to defend. You have to be able to ram dudes into the boards, and you have to be able to fight. And before the Panthers could do all those things effectively, they were a team that, like you said, was built to win a lot of regular season games, but the playoffs is a different animal in the NHL.
Right, and that year they won the President's Cup. Remember how many comebacks they had to come through? They had to score a lot of points late in games. And
yeah,
it's a recipe for, like you said, a President's Cup, but maybe not so much in the postseason. As we saw, you kind of hit a wall real quick and have trouble in those playoff games. So I got nothing respect for all those guys on that team, and they're built for another deep run in the playoffs this year. I have every confidence that they'll be fine in these playoffs. They've got experience now. Whew, man, should be a fun run. Speaking of playoffs, we talked about Vic Fangio, talked about the Super Bowl. We'll talk about Dolphins, maybe Super Bowl, maybe not. I don't know.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
1 week ago, at this time, we were reacting to the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles dominating the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Dono joining me this morning on the Joe Rose Show. I am Dan Day. Dono, what were your takeaways from the Super Bowl just about a week ago?
If you can dominate the line of scrimmage, the world is your oyster. I mean, I know so many times we get enamored with best quarterback, and you know, Patrick Mahomes, he is him. He's the best thing that we've had since Tom Brady was still in his prime. He's a generational guy. But if you can't protect him, because the Eagles defensive line so overwhelming, Kansas City's offensive line just not nearly good enough. I mean, it was fun. Like, it felt like a throwback, Dan. And even like, and I'll admit, I had money on Kansas City because I just thought, as they usually do, they'd find a way to win, or the refs would find a way to help them to win, something like that. So even though you know, I lost more bets than I won at the Super Bowl. I was still thrilled because I was getting a little bit tired of the Kansas City thing, and the three-peat would have been a little bit annoying. So I was really happy for the Eagles, and obviously their offense did more than enough as well, even though, you know, Saquon Barkley was held pretty much in check. They made enough big plays in the passing game, obviously enough game-changing defensive plays. But to me, it felt like a throwback to see really a defense win that championship. I thought was refreshing because we don't always get that in the NFL these days.
Yeah, as I watched the game, I gleaned something. One thing that was both positive and negative. As a Dolphins fan, I didn't look at it as like, man, look how far the Dolphins are from, you know, being in the Super Bowl or playing with the Eagles and playing with the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the positive of it. I don't think anybody in this league is anywhere near Kansas City and the Eagles. I mean, look in the NFC. You got the Commanders. I mean, the Rams kind of gave the Eagles a little bit of a run for their money. But still, the Eagles head and shoulders above everybody else, it seemed like, in the NFC. And in the AFC, I mean, the Bills, they're not going to win a playoff game against Kansas City. The Ravens couldn't even get past the Bills. It's like, man, yeah, these guys are just so far ahead of everybody. So as a Dolphins fan, you do feel bad that there is that wide gap between you and Kansas City and Philadelphia. But I guess you feel a little bit better because misery loves company. Everybody has a far gap from those two teams, because those two teams, to me, head and shoulders, are the two best teams in the NFL, and it's everyone chasing them.
Yeah, but where I disagree with you a little bit, though, is that the Dolphins are still chasing a lot of those other teams that are on that second tier, because, you know, we're head and shoulders right now behind the Bills still. You know, people keep thinking the Dolphins are closing that gap with Buffalo. The gap has reopened and has widened. And, you know, Baltimore, obviously, I put a cut above the Dolphins, and Kansas City a couple cuts above. So, I mean, that. But, you know, maybe if I'm looking for a positive, I could say that, you know, you don't have to have the best quarterback in the league, because, you know, Jalen Hurts is very good, but he's not Mahomes or, you know, Lamar Jackson. Like, I don't think he's one of the top upper echelon guy. He's not the primary driver for that Eagles football team. So you don't necessarily have to have the best quarterback. Like, I think Tua is pretty good, but he's not at the level of these other guys. But at the same time, though, you need to have those other spots of dominance, right? You need to have a defense that can flip a game on its head. And, you know, the Dolphins have shown spurts here and there, and I like Anthony Weaver. Calais Campbell had a really good season last year. The Dolphins do not have anything that resembles the Eagles defense, though, right now. So you better draft well again. You better have another good free agent period, because if there is a pretty wide gap between the Eagles and the Miami Dolphins. I'll
and that's
say
what's
that.
Going to be interesting to see what Chris Greer and those guys do in the draft. Do they go for best player available? Do they go for their needs? Because it seems like now, you know, the Dolphins have woken up. I think the whole world has woken up that offense and defensive line is where it's at. Dominating the line of scrimmage, putting pressure on the quarterback. Vic Fangio didn't blitz once because Patrick Mahomes statistically is the best quarterback against blitzes. He still got to where he needed to be. So is that now the way you go? It's going to be interesting with the 13th overall pick what the Miami Dolphins do. If they, like I said, try to get the best available, or if they do try to address a need, which would most likely be offense and defensive line.
I mean, to me, I think you have so many needs, you can probably draft the best player available and you'll be all right. I mean, you know, I know obviously a lot of Dolphin fans would even say, hey, quarterback is a need, but it's not really. I mean, Tua is on that hefty contract. Tua is your guy. He is the quarterback of this football team. So outside of that, maybe a couple of other spots. I mean, you have needs that virtually every position, and, you know, hopefully, you know, a guy that, and I haven't looked at any mocks in a couple of weeks. I know this stuff changes so much, but I know that a guy that I've really liked is Tyler Warren from Penn State, the tight end who can, you know, he can line up anywhere. He seems to me like a George Kittle type of guy with his versatility. That's somebody that I like. You know,
I think he's like 6'7". He's a big guy.
Yeah, I mean, I know you could also use offensive line or defensive line. So there's a number of different needs you can draft. I mean, I'm usually a best player available guy, unless it's just at such an obvious position you don't need. Like if you do have a franchise quarterback, obviously you don't. If the best player available is a quarterback, you probably don't draft him. But overall, I'm a BPA guy, and I think the Dolphins can probably look at it that way. You know, knowing Chris Greer, he'll probably draft the most injury prone guy available to him. Like, who might miss half a season? That's our guy.
Yeah, I mean, the defensive line theoretically is good. Bradley Chubb, he's been all pro. Yeah. You got Chop Robinson, had a great rookie year. Jalen Phillips, if he can stay healthy, you got some guys in there. Calais Campbell, Zach Sealer, yeah. But it's being healthy and it's being there. And a lot of people have talked about the Dolphins possibly trading down and getting some more draft capital. There's two schools of thinking. Maybe in the third round they take someone like Dillon Gabriel from Oregon. There's another school of thought, which Omar Kelly, who you mentioned earlier, our great friend over there at the Miami Herald, says the Dolphins don't need a young, inexperienced slash rookie quarterback. They need a veteran quarterback because Tua is going to dominate not only the play on the field, but he is most likely going to get 95% of the snaps in practice. So you probably would behoove yourself by getting a guy who's just plug ready to play as opposed to someone that's going to need to grow into the position because there's not going to be as much room for growth. I don't know what the right answer is. Once again, that's why they don't pay me millions of dollars to make these decisions.
No, I agree with Omar wholeheartedly because, again, like I know not every Dolphin fan is sold on Tua, but the bottom line is that he is considered to be your franchise guy, but he also misses time. Like, he's only had one season where he's been completely healthy. He's on a long-term deal. So I believe you need to get a veteran who can at least plug and play and be respectable. Obviously, you know, you're not going to be able to go out and get a starting caliber quarterback as your backup quarterback more than likely, but get somebody who's ready to fill in and possibly start 4 or 5 games. I mean, Tua missed a half dozen games this past season, so you need someone who can do that, and that's not a rookie. Like, if you draft a Dillon Gabriel in the third round, I mean, that doesn't help you next year, probably not the next couple of years. I mean, maybe it's someone a team could take a flyer on to possibly develop into a starting quarterback for the future. And that's certainly not the approach Chris Greer is going to take. Because, Dan, if Chris Greer may be on double secret probation this year, he's not going to be making long-term moves. He's going to be making short-term moves to preserve his job in the meantime. So it would behoove him, I think, to pick up a veteran quarterback in free agency who can, you know, plug and play, and you don't drop off so much when Tua misses games.
And we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere to be a backup quarterback. He's not coming here.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said Jameis Winston. There may be a chance for Jameis Winston to find himself with a team starting after, you know, some of the stuff he's done. Joe Flacco, you never know where he might end up. I mean, he'd be a great backup if we could get him. They're floating out a bunch of different names. Justin Fields, that would be a good one if he's possible. Yeah. But right now, it's just kind of wait and see. We got to figure out how the rest of this year is going to be going. Teron Armstead has made mention that he would like to come back, which is, to me, good news. Although some people would say, I mean, what, come back for half a season? He's going to miss 4, 5, 6 games anyway. I mean, and that's, I think, one of the most frustrating things about the Miami Dolphins. There is no answer for the injury bug. You can't just say, oh, we're just not going to get hurt this year. We'll be healthy this year. You have no say over that. You have no power over that. I know you can draft guys and you can get guys who are less injury prone and stuff like that, but there is no rhyme or reason to the injuries. We see the best of the best get injured, the healthiest of the healthiest get injured. It could be freak plays. So there is no answer to that. It's just going to be interesting to see. Chris Greer better start making short-term decisions as opposed to long-term decisions, because after what happened last year, and kind of the way it ended and kind of the way it's continued on, I don't see that being, you know, sustainable to saying, you know what, we're just going to ride this thing out for a while. We're going to believe in his image or what his vision going forward, because now it's been 25 years since you've won a playoff game, much less done anything else.
I hope they can prove me wrong, but I felt kind of like last season was the Dolphins' last chance with the current window that's been open. And I know it was Chris Perkins who wrote about that recently, that, you know, the Dolphins, you know, their championship window might be closing. It's like, okay, in Miami's championship window, not only did they not win any championships, they didn't even win a playoff game during this window. So I hope I'm hope I'm wrong. I mean, listen, I know that right after the season was over, we felt like Tyreek Hill was probably leaving. Now he's not leaving. He's staying. He's not going to demand a trade or anything like that. So he was someone who was Hill was a little snake bit last season. So hopefully he can have – and I know I'm going back to what you talked about, hoping that guys avoid the injury bug. So hopefully Hill, who's on the wrong side of 30 now, can be at his – you know, very best for 17 plus games this year, and that he's got his starting quarterback healthy, because, you know, Hill is better when Tua is there, and Tua is a lot better when Hill is there. So maybe they can extend that window a little bit longer and try to win something. Because, you know, going back to the whole toughness thing, the Dolphins really are a team. If you want to make a run in the playoffs, you've got to have a good enough regular season record that you're hosting a playoff game or two. Because unfortunately for these guys, going to try to win a playoff game in January in Buffalo or January in Kansas City in those conditions, it's just, that's not conducive to victory for this team. So, you know, and a couple of years ago, that was their opportunity. Had they not blown that game against the Titans, they would have been hosting a playoff game instead of going to Kansas City at minus 25 degree wind chill and fans losing fingers and toes sitting out there in that game. So yeah, that might be what this team needs to have a good enough regular season, which will require Tua healthy for 17 games to hopefully host a playoff game next year.
Dono, if you say that Chris Perkins is possibly theorizing that the championship window is closed, the sad part is the two basically biggest highlights of your quote-unquote championship window was a 70-point blowout of a Denver team that didn't make the playoffs and a Christmas Eve win against a Cowboys team that really wasn't all that good.
Yeah, and that was that year. That was 2023. That was the only team the Dolphins beat that year that was over 500. Yeah. It was the only team that was even in a playoff run that they beat was that Dallas game. And yeah, listen, the Denver game was a lot of fun. And then looking back on it, I know the Dolphins pulled back when they had an opportunity to set the record. They decided not to line up for a field goal that would have gotten them there. They should have just gone for the record. I know Mike McDaniel didn't want to like piss off the football gods and take some cheap points, but it ended up being a pointless season anyway. At least we could have had a scoring record in the process, so they should have gone for that.
That's not much of a championship window, so hopefully the window is still open in this year. We can get it going. Speaking of the NFL, though, Cam Ward, he is going to be in the NFL very soon, making himself some good money. But will he be the first overall pick? Alex Dono, you've seen every minute of Cam Ward multiple times this past season with the Miami Hurricanes. You're going to let me know next whether he should be that number one pick and what type of pro you feel he will be. On Friday, the Miami Dolphins made a couple of cuts. Running back Raheem Mostert after three seasons. Durham Smythe after seven, longest tenured Dolphin. And then they also cut Kendall Fuller after 1 year. Alex Dono, pretty much necessary cuts. Raheem Mostert getting up in age. I know he was banged up last year. He had an unbelievable year in 2023, but you kind of have turned it over to Devon Achane. You also drafted Jalen Wright. Fill in the gaps with some of the other running backs that you either get through free agency or bring back Jeff Wilson Jr. Durham Smythe, let's be honest, he was okay. He was marginal. You got Jonnu Smith. Might be drafting this big horse out of Penn State. And then Kendall Fuller was kind of a one-year rental, you know.
Yeah.
And so and you save $8 million, and I don't think it drastically changes the team. So I wasn't really upset with the cuts. It's business. It's the way it is. Just business.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain players you get attached to because of past success. And, you know, I was a little sad when I saw that Raheem Mostert was cut because, you know, like you mentioned, 2 years ago, I mean, he was unbelievable. He was a human touchdown machine. And he, you know, he knew Mike McDaniel from, you know, working under him, playing under him at San Francisco, was very familiar with that running scheme. And he did well here at Miami. But again, like you're an aging running back, wrong side of 30, had injury troubles last year. You're making a good amount of money. Dolphins had to make some sacrifices because they're in a very tricky, and I'm sure all the times Omar has been on the show recently, he's talked about it, where you're having to do a lot of cap gymnastics right now, you know, when you've got players like Tua and Tyreek Hill who recently, you know, extended their contracts, and a lot of your money is going to certain standout players, that it had to be done. So I was a little sad when I saw the Mostert cut. I was not surprised by it because it is a business at the end of the day, and Same thing with Fuller and Durham Smythe. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to miss some of these guys, but, you know, you've got to hope that you use whatever little cap space you have, use it to build the best possible team through the draft and otherwise.
Well, speaking of building a team through the draft, it's coming up April 24th. That is going to be the first day of the draft. Lambeau Field in Green Bay, and I have every confidence that with the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Cameron Ward of the University of Miami. I believe Shedeur Sanders is also a very good quarterback. I believe he has good pedigree. I like Travis Hunter. I think he might be a little undersized, and maybe his role isn't as defined. Cam Ward, to me, just checks all the boxes. And maybe I'm wrong, Dono. You're more into this than I am. He's got the size. He's got the arm strength. He has that winning attitude. And we've gone through his career trajectory. High school. Wishbone offense, basically. That's why he didn't get recruited anywhere, because he was in a running offense. So he goes to Incarnate Word, an FCS school, succeeds there, goes to Washington State. Whatever you want to say, Pac-12 after dark, not very visible to the whole nation. Heck, it's even hard to get to Washington State. You know,
yeah. You
have to like fly into Moscow, Idaho and take a bus there. I'm not even joking. This is real. You fly into Moscow, Idaho and like take a bus in through the mountains. So you don't get a lot of exposure there. Finally makes the jump to Miami. A lot of people think, oh, you know, one-year rental, he's not going to be all that. He's absolutely fantastic. He's shown you through his career arc that no matter where he goes, no matter what he does, he is a leader and successful, and he's got all the physical tools. So when you got a guy like that that has all the physical tools and has shown through his track record that he has the leadership skills and he is a succeeder wherever he goes, why wouldn't you draft him number one?
Yeah, the signs have been pointing over the past several months for him to be the number one pick. He's been the odds-on favorite for that for a while. I know that every now and then you see some of these reports that come out. Could be some clickbait, could be some smoke screens, maybe from NFL teams putting out there that, hey, no, maybe Shedeur is going to be number one, or maybe this team's going to trade up and draft somebody different or trade down. I expect Ward to be the number one overall pick, and I expect him to be a Titan. I know that like the Giants also really like Ward, but they, you know, they won one too many games to have the number one overall pick. And just like for me, Ward, you know, the more and more that I talk with NFL evaluators about him, he's got the arm talent, which is obviously that's the first prerequisite to being the number one overall pick, is he can make those NFL caliber throws from the opposite hash. He can literally make every throw. I don't know if you saw this video, Dan, that came out about a week ago of Ward in training, because he's doing his pre-draft training in Dallas right now. He threw a football 70 yards and intentionally hit the crossbar of the goalpost. Like, he was aiming for the crossbar and he hits the crossbar from 70 yards out. That's the type of accuracy that Ward brings to the table. So, you know, he can make every throw. On top of that, he's got the ability to manipulate the pocket, right, and improvise. And something that's key about that is, and this is appreciated by NFL teams, is he doesn't like rely on actually running, which obviously gets you hit a lot and can shorten careers. Like, it's more about the way he moves within the pocket to buy himself time, which I think is something that could translate very well to the NFL. I mean, it's the type that you see like Patrick Mahomes do that sort of stuff to manipulate the pocket and buy time. He's always looking downfield when he does that and gives his receivers an opportunity to get open to make big plays. So I think the manipulation of the pocket is really big. And then, you know, a bonus, because obviously anytime you're going to make someone the number one overall pick, you've got to make sure they're not Ryan Leaf and they're not like completely, you know, never should have been picked, I guess, number two, where he was, who was just mentally a mess. Like, right. Ward is not that. He's got the leadership characteristics. I mean, you mentioned he was only at Miami for 1 year. You would have thought he was at Miami for 4 years, because right. he became the guy, the alpha, the leader of the team. Defensive guys, offensive guys, they all loved and respected him. He's a magnetic personality. Would bring guys, you know, to his house to watch games, team building sessions from day one, all that stuff. So he checks off that box. You know, I think he's going to impress teams. And, you know, We'll see how this pre-draft process goes. I mean, I think the only thing, if you really nitpick and when you go through the combine measurements, you know, maybe his hands are a little bit small, but that he doesn't look that way on film. Like, I know he had some fumbling issues when he was at Washington State, didn't really have that at Miami. I think there was only one meaningful fumble I can think of against Georgia Tech. Mm. And that was just because he was improvising, trying to do a little bit too much. So I think the measurables are going to be good for him. He's got the height, he's got the arm talent. You know, I think maybe the one thing in the film room, some coaches will ask him, like, hey, maybe sometimes you should just make the simpler play. It's okay to dump it off. It's okay to throw it away. Ward is usually going for the jugular. I feel like that's part of his game that can be adjusted with NFL coaching, but I mean, he's got the makings of a number one pick for me.
That's what I was going to say. If you want to nitpick on Cam Ward, you could say he's a little cavalier sometimes with the ball, and he tries to extend plays too much. But with maturity and experience and coaching, that's something that's easily fixable, I would think. And you know what? If you're a little bit of a riverboat gambler, Josh Allen's done it forever. Seems to be working okay for him. He won the MVP. But if you want to nitpick right there, the other thing that maybe, well, he quit on his team in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which, once again, that's total nitpicking, that he even came out there in, and I'm not going to say a meaningless bowl, but in a less meaningful bowl, went out there and played. And also, for whatever reason, didn't play the second half. I think actually he did a favor to the University of Miami and Mario Cristobal. But if you want to say that, and that shows that he has, you know, not the right personality, that's really, to me, just nitpick stuff right there.
That's media fodder is all it is. Because any NFL team that may, like, want to ask about what happened there, which is probably the right, like, hey, like, tell me what happened.
Due diligence,
You should. And if they want to, you know, call Mario Cristobal to get a second opinion, like, Mario's going to tell them, like, this was our plan all along, because I know the media made it sound as if Ward just told his teammates in the locker room, guys, I'm quitting, I'm done, I'm not playing the second. That's not what happened. This was a prearranged thing. Ward really wanted to play in that game, but I think Miami wanted to get a look at Emery Williams in the second half, and thank God they did, because maybe we wouldn't have Carson Beck right now if they hadn't seen how poorly Emery played in that second half. So that's an easy thing to debunk. I know all the, you know, Stephen A. Smiths and Skip Bayless's, they can have fun. This guy, did he quit on his team? But no, listen, NFL teams can debunk that very quickly. Ask Cam Ward what happened. Ask Mario Cristobal what happened. And they're going to realize this guy's not a bad teammate. That's the character thing. I don't think there's any, I mean, confidently, having gotten to know Ward over the past year, gotten to know his family a little bit. I've talked to his father sometimes, who seems like a great guy. I have zero concerns about character for him. Like, that's nowhere near. Again, you can nitpick the gunslinger thing, the cavalier attitude. Yeah. You can nitpick some of that stuff. You cannot nit. I think Cam Ward's character is unimpeachable. I don't think you can nitpick that at all.
He's a born leader, and don't buy all these smokescreen. There's always seeming to be this quarterback that is, you got to watch out for him. He's going to be great. They smokescreen you. Will Levis was one of those guys. Oh, man, whoever gets him going to be so lucky. This year, and I kind of like this guy. I don't like him as a starting quarterback, or I don't think he's going to go as high as they're trying to make it. Jackson Dart over there at Ole Miss, like, look out.
Oh, he's been the smokescreen guy.
He might be
year.
The best quarterback in this draft. Yeah. It's like, mm-mm. Yeah. At the end of the day, here's the litmus test. Ask a Tennessee Titan fan who they want at number one overall. Right. It's going to be Cam Ward. Yeah.
None of them are saying Jackson Dart.
They're not saying Jackson Dart. They're not saying Shooter Sanders. They're not saying Travis Hunter. I like all those guys. They're saying Cam Ward. At the end of the day,
The guy that interests me the most, I want to see what happens with Travis Hunter, because again, like a big part of, and he's a tremendous football player, I'm not taking anything away from him, but like a big part of his appeal in college was the two-way aspect. I don't think he's going to be able to play two ways in the NFL.
He'll be like his idol, Deion Sanders.
Yeah, so, well, maybe, but if NFL teams, if they are evaluating him not as a corner and receiver, but as a corner or receiver, I wonder what that does for his draft stock, because he was like near the top at both of those positions, but not at the top in either one of those. Right. So whoever drafts him, are they going to say, you know what, we'll just bring him in. We'll let him play two ways like he did in college. Maybe then he's worth a second or third or overall pick. But if an NFL team is saying, no, we want him as a receiver or a corner, then I don't know if he's a top five caliber pick at either of those positions, but at both, yes.
Yeah. So he's entering the combine as a DB. That's what he's listed as. Cam Ward, I'm expecting him to go to the combine. I don't know how much participation he's going to do, though.
Yeah, he's in one of those guys where you have more to lose than to gain.
But he signed that deal with New Era to have like his combine gear. So I figure he's going to go, maybe walk around, do a few little drills here and there.
Well, you got to do. I mean, I think what you have to do is you've got to do. Did Caleb Williams even skip the interviews? I can't remember now. I think he. I know people were disappointed with how little he did, but I feel like you've got to at least do the interviews. You've got to talk to teams. And you obviously have to do the measurements. That's a requirement. Right. You have to get your exact height, hand size, weight, all that stuff. So he's got to do that at the bare minimum. But yeah, I mean, Ward is in a situation. I know maybe the media will try to say, hey,
oh, he's quitting.
He opted out of the bowl game and he quit on the combine. You can hurt your stock more than you can help it.
That's a business decision. That's a business decision. Oh, before we do that, no business, man. Let's get down to some foolishness. Let's take a step into the day spa. Been meaning to get to this one. Animal control in Washington State recently had to save a donkey that was trapped in thick mud.
Oh my gosh.
You know what they say.
How did so they got donkeys running around Washington State?
Yeah, but you know what they say sometimes. Sometimes your ass gets stuck in mud.
I can see why you've been waiting to get to that one.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.